Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Jason Smith's going to join the program next segment. Before we do any of that, let's get into the list. The blue chip ratio. All right, Cobb. Your coworker, Bud Elliott, has released the blue chip ratio for 2025. For those that are asking, what is the blue chip ratio? It is the percentage of 4 and 5 stars to 3 stars and below on your roster. And dating back, I think he goes through the BCS era.
Yeah, but I mean, he lists them out. Then the national champions, certainly all throughout the college football playoff era, fit this criteria.
You have to have over 50%. And he lists in his story all the way back to Bama in 2011. But every champion has had at least 50% or better. The low being, we had Michigan in 2023 at 54% and Florida State in 2013 at 53%. I'm surprised. I thought that Florida State team had, I thought they were loaded.
They had Jameis.
They had a good offensive line, though, too. They had Kelvin, Benjamin. Who was their running back? Was that one of the Cooks? Was Dalvin there at that time?
I can tell you. But it was Jameis. I mean, that was Jameis' team. They don't win that national title without Jameis Winston.
Sophomore Jameis was better than junior Jameis.
Interestingly enough, Devontae Freeman was their stud running back that year.
I just remember that team being loaded. All right, so we have, I believe it's 18 teams this year that qualify. And we have Alabama and Ohio State at 89%. I want to discuss Alabama with a minute. Georgia at 84. A&M at 82. Oregon at 78. Texas also at 78. LSU at 73. Notre Dame as well at 73. Oklahoma's at 70. Penn State's at 68. Miami 64. Florida 64. Auburn 64. Michigan 57. USC 57. Clemson 55, Tennessee 54, and Florida State at 54%. Of those teams, Cobb, I actually think Alabama might be the most interesting team this year. Because I think if they figure quarterback out, I actually think they have everybody right where they want them, because they're kind of an afterthought right now in terms of the top of the sport.
And the quarterback position is far and away the most interesting for Alabama. Gabe and I had an interesting discussion yesterday, sort of about the lack of hype surrounding Ty Simpson, whereas I believe the Ty Simpson Ryan Grubb marriage could be really productive to the point where I think he could kind of do a lot of the things that Michael Penix Jr. did for Washington when Kalen DeBoer and Ryan Grubb led Washington to a national title game appearance. Like, I think the ceiling is that high when you talk about Ty Simpson in that system. Oh, yeah, not to mention the defense is far and away more talented than that Washington defense was.
So the struggles that I have with Simpson are he was afforded every opportunity to win that job because of Milroe's inconsistency and never did it. What I can be talked into, though, is while he's never going to be the dynamic athlete that Milroe is.
Michael Penix Jr. was not a dynamic athlete either, though.
Well, he was at Indiana.
Yeah,
and then he has no knees.
It was a workaround
Correct.
Year because he couldn't do anything. And
Correct.
He was exposed for that in the title game against Michigan when he got sacked 15 times.
I also think, though, you're discounting how good of a thrower Penix was.
Right, but at least in theory, you're talking about Ty Simpson here, a former five-star prospect, but then, you know, kind of to your point that the skepticism or the doubt enters when this week you're looking all around the league and all these other programs are bringing their first-year starting quarterbacks to SEC Media Days. We got John Mateer never taking a snap in the SEC. Oklahoma's touting him as though he's the next Baker Mayfield. Meanwhile, you got a former five-star prospect in Ty Simpson at Alabama, and not only did they not bring him to Media Days, they're not even really talking about him as if he's got a firm hold on the job. We got Kalen DeBoer saying, yeah, if we played a game tomorrow, he'd probably be the starter, but I mean, that doesn't really sound like an inspiring vote of confidence for a guy of his pedigree.
The only defense I will give him is, in this era, I think you have, if you're in the spot that they're in, which
sure,
is they have multiple guys.
You got to make the backup think he's got a shot.
Correct. And almost everyone else that's turned to their guy, most of them only have one guy. Like, if Mateer gets hurt, I don't even know who Oklahoma's.
Well, they got Michael Hawkins Jr. back, but.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Remember
when
they talked about that yesterday.
Remember when they thought he was the answer? Remember when Venables? So George will remember this. Matt Luke thought that John Rhys Plumlee was going to be like the signature build around Mississippi kid.
Yeah, right.
Matt Corral was on the bench.
Mm.
Yeah. We saw how that worked out.
Yeah.
John Rhys Plumlee, shout out to Oak Grove in Hattiesburg. No, what's interesting, you get into this discussion, you mentioned like Michael Hawkins Jr. I think it also gets into Jackson Arnold, who got beat out midseason last year by Michael Hawkins Jr. at Oklahoma. Do you buy, Jeffrey, that a fresh start at Auburn is all Jackson Arnold needs because Auburn actually has receivers. And OU was so banged up at receiver last year that
we couldn't even
see who Jackson Arnold really is.
I got a lot of Jackson Arnold stock.
Really?
I think Arnold got blamed. Now, I also think he set himself up. I think he was a bad teammate at times, like when he was lashing out at his offensive line, the Tennessee game where he had the meltdown. I also think that Oklahoma talked themselves into Jackson was their problem, and I'm not convinced that was the case. When I saw him throwing, at the end of the year, when he was throwing to literally walk-ons, I just don't think he's the problem. I think he's pretty good. I actually think they're going to realize. I'm not convinced that Mateer is going to be top of half of the league.
Well, what I do like about OU and the John Mateer situation is, one, they're going to be healthier at the skill positions this year, and then, two, he's coming and playing in a system that he is familiar with because they hired the offensive coordinator who he was with at Washington State. And we've seen that work in the past when you bring in
Diego
Pavia comes in from New Mexico State with Tim Beck, who was the offensive coordinator there. Boom, you get year one results.
Kill. And Jared Kill.
And Jared Kill. All right. So, I mean, it's the same deal here with OU, and I think that's going to pay dividends because they're actually going to have a coherent scheme that their quarterback fits in. They get better health. They could be pretty good. But I will say, you look at the 18 teams on this blue chip ratio, yes, it might be the minimum threshold for who can win the national title, and if you're not on this list, you probably can't win at all. But I don't think that every team on this list necessarily can win at all.
No, he's even said it's also not a predictive measurement. Because I think Florida State was on there last year.
They were, they were close. Tennessee was not on it last year, and oddly enough, I think last year's Tennessee team had a way better chance to win a national title than this year's Tennessee team does, and Tennessee is on the list this year. I don't think Tennessee is a national title contender this year. I don't think they're a playoff team. You could argue if they'd gotten a better draw in the playoff bracket last year, they could have won a couple of games in the playoff a season ago without being on this list. So I think there's five or six teams who are on here who realistically have no chance whatsoever.
All right. Tell me the best defense that Mateer saw.
Yeah, I get it, right? Like, it's a different right. Washington State than the one that
also,
Cam Ward played for.
I'm with you on the scheme. The only caveat I would throw to that is the receivers haven't played in it. Like, that's kind of the other thing about that air raid style. It's not necessarily just the quarterback knowing, but it's a lot of, like, sight adjustments. So it's everybody being on the same page. All right, so here we go. Portland State.
Okay.
Texas Tech. At Washington.
Okay, that's a Big Ten team.
San Jose State.
It's a good Mountain West team.
Boise.
Good team, playoff team.
They lost by 24.
Okay.
21, beg your pardon. Fresno. Hawaii. Mm. STDSU.
Oh, wow.
Utah State. Losses at New Mexico, at Oregon State, and then at Wyoming. All or right. Wyoming at home.
So you're out on John Mateer.
I'm just saying, I think everybody's acting like the numbers he put up are going to be super repeatable.
Yeah, that was a Mountain West. Who did Diego Pavia beat at New Mexico State? He comes in and beats Alabama.
He's an icon. You bite your tongue. He's an icon.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
This is the greatest covering quarterback in the history of gambling.
It's the same thing. Diego Pavia was a JUCO wrestler, and now he's beating Alabama. So you don't think John Mateer, who played at Washington State, can come in and replicate what Diego Pavia did when he's got way better talent around him at a much higher caliber program? I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that he could really, really upgrade that Oklahoma offense. I'm not out here saying Oklahoma's going to win the national title, but could Oklahoma go 9-3, be on the periphery of the playoff conversation, save Brent Venables' job? Yeah, John Mateer can do that. I'm not saying he's Cam Ward. I mean, the distinction you're trying to make is this, that Cam Ward was a Washington State transfer and John Mateer's a Washington State transfer. I get it. Different Washington State, right? Because
yes.
Cam Ward played in a really good Pac-12 in 23 before he transferred
to
Miami.
A team that sucked before he got there and a team that sucked after.
But I don't think you could just totally discount John Mateer just because he played a lesser caliber of competition.
All right, I want to look up Diego's total gambling record.
I mean, Vanderbilt wasn't even sold on Diego Pavia. They brought in Nate Johnson from Utah last year to compete for that job. A lot of people thought Nate Johnson was going to win that job. In fact, when CFP 25 came out last year, they had Nate Johnson as the starter at Vandy, right? Nobody knew Diego Pavia was going to be good.
One gentleman is 27-13 against the spread. The other's 14-10.
They're both well above 500.
Well.
14-10 against the spread? That's well above 500. You're in the plus. You're in the plus money with that.
Not for an elite quarterback. Okay, let's see. Mateer.
I take 14-10 against the spread. Give me that all day.
Diego's a legend. Who?
He's talking too much, man. He's running his mouth. He's putting a target on
his
back.
He always does this.
Yeah, but nobody cared last year.
He was peeing on logos at New Mexico State.
No, you can do that stuff in New Mexico State. Nobody cares. You do that stuff in the SEC. You start calling out SEC opponents. You put a target on your back, man. I'm afraid for what he's done to Vanderbilt football. I'm afraid for him.
Such a Vol homer.
Thomas Castellanos is doing the same thing at Florida State right now. He's doing the exact same thing. He's been playing little boy football up at Boston College. Nobody cares what you say when you're at BC. You get down to FSU, you start running your mouth about Alabama, boy, it's going to get ugly for him.
What is Florida State right now?
Like, I hope Mike saves his job, but like, if they don't do something this year, he's done.
I actually don't hate bringing in Gus as just the ball play guy.
Yeah, but the what is it? Mike Norvell's the offensive guru. Why are you trying to bring in a washed up Gus Malzahn?
I don't know. Like, that's the other thing. That league's so bad that, like, you don't have to be that good.
I'm real skeptical on Florida State. Really skeptical that they're going to be significantly better. I mean, they're going to be better than 2-10.
Right.
But, like...
But that's not saying much. Like, yeah. Okay. Who... If you had to vote yes or no, this is a playoff team, let's go through the list.
Okay.
Bama.
Yes.
Ohio State.
Yes.
Georgia.
Yes.
A&M.
No.
Oregon.
Maybe.
Texas.
Yes.
LSU.
Yes.
So you got five SEC teams?
Oh, gosh.
Hold on. One, two. No, you have four. Because you said no on A&M.
Yep.
Notre Dame.
Yes.
Oklahoma.
No.
Penn State.
Yes.
Miami.
Yes.
You got some Miami stock, too?
A little bit.
I was telling George, the biggest problem I have is, can they just hire a different coach on Saturdays?
Right.
If you just didn't have Cristobal on the sideline, I swear I'd be all in.
And I think the ACC probably gets two, and I think that the two will come from the group of Clemson, Miami, and SMU. So I guess probably on Miami.
USC?
No.
Clemson?
Yes.
Tennessee?
No.
Florida State?
No.
All right, so that leaves whoever our Big 12 team.
Sure.
Whoever,
your G5. Your Big 12 and your G5. That's the thing about this blue chip ratio, man. Not a single Big 12 team on it. And that's the problem with the Big 12 right now.
Well, it's also the thing where everyone wants, like, Texas Tech is everybody's darling, but the problem is, it's like, were they a year too late buying up all the talent? Because it doesn't feel like the portal this year was as, it feels like every single progressing year, the portal's thinning out.
I also think we're overestimating, like, the amount of talent that they bought. Like, you have to buy literally 40 players if you want to be considered a legitimate national title contender. And they bought 7 or 8 good ones, but did they buy enough to go out here and, one, I'm skeptical they even make the playoff, too.
I would say, did they buy, are they spending to win a title, or are they spending to get to the playoff?
I think they're just spending because they have money. I think Cody Campbell just, like, wants to buy a seat at the table.
I mean, I said this. He's the classic. If you have one of these guys, it's the best because he's super rich, but he's not rich enough to buy an NFL team.
I mean,
team.
It's like the guy who thinks he can improve his golf game by going and buying a bunch of new equipment. It's like there's some other things you got to fix.
You can.
It's not true.
Have you heard of jailbreak technology?
AI?
Twist face?
Wow.
Like speed injection with AI?
Give me some persimmons and I'll go whip a beginner who's playing the AI-infused technology.
I mean, don't forget, like, Cobb did ask that question. Am I going to buy up all of the Pro V1s before the rollback?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I am. Like, I'm going to have, heads up, sweetie, if you're looking for something for Christmas for me, just go ahead and just, like, start buying dozens of Pro Vs.
Right, yeah, yeah. Well, I've got 1,500 Pro Vs in the garage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All from the previous generation. I don't know. To me, like, the team that I am very curious on, because I can't get there like everyone else is, I'm still not there on LSU.
So I think they made some pretty significant upgrades on the defensive front. Like, you look at, like, a Patrick Payton coming in from a Florida State. That's, to me, it's like where they've got to get better. I know you're out on Garrett Nussmeier, but I just think they've been asking Garrett Nussmeier last season to do way too much. You got to play hero ball as a quarterback. All right, you're going to have some interceptions. You're going to have some bad plays, right? But if you actually have a competent defense and you don't have to be the hero all the time, then makes a pretty big difference.
Okay, but their two best teams that they keep comparing him to are, like, they keep talking about the Jaden Daniels jump and the Joe Burrow jump. Like, to get to that, he has to, like, take a step.
Yeah, I don't know that you have to be Joe Burrow, though, or have to be. Oh, look, they had Jaden Daniels and still didn't make the playoff.
That's what I'm saying, but Daniels was incredible.
And that wasn't his fault.
He was so good that year.
It was the defense. I think it's more about the defense taking a jump. And I think it will. You go look at Blake Baker. He got him better as a DC in year one. Now he's got, Brian Kelly said this. He said, now we've given him the players to go out and really field an elite defense. And that's where the difference is going to be with LSU. Now I'll say this. They got to go to Clemson in week one, right? They lose that game. They drop to 0-4 in week one under Brian Kelly. Do they stay on the bandwagon? Because I'll say this. Last year, Ole Miss lost a couple of games early that they really shouldn't have lost, and we thought Lane Kiffin might lose that team.
He didn't.
He kept that team together. They beat Georgia. But with Brian Kelly being on the hot seat, does LSU stay together if they lose week one to Clemson? That's my concern with LSU, is can they withstand emotionally another week one loss?
See if you dig this. I weirdly like them going truly to the hostile road environment better than hollowed out NFL stadium with no juice. Like, I think, like, you can get more pumped up for the big road game.
I can see that.
Is that Sunday night? Or is that the...
Seems like LSU's always playing Sunday or Monday on week one. Huge game.
I think it's Sunday night, because I think... So we have... Week one has bangers this year. Because we have big noon with Ohio State, Texas.
It's actually a Saturday game. LSU.
So is that the Saturday night game? And then Monday night is Belichick's debut. Who's the? There's another good game Sunday night.
Yeah, so Notre Dame-Miami is Sunday, followed by on Monday, TCU-North Carolina. Also on Sunday, Virginia Tech-South Carolina, the old Beamer Bowl.
Bring Shane home?
Bring Shane home. Because
That's a weird... What are they going to do with him?
Beamer or Brent Pry?
Brent Pry.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to go 8-4 probably.
Which I guess if you're going to be in a league and go 8-4, he's probably in one of the better ones. What's our Saturday night? So we have Saturday night, we have the LSU. So we start with Texas, Ohio State early. Isn't there another, like a 2:30? Oh, yeah, then we have Alabama, Florida State at 2:30. I felt like there was one more, like, I can't wait to watch that game.
Well, the thing about week one is, you know, they spread it out across multiple days. So, like, Friday night, for example.
Oh, yeah, we have Baylor, Auburn.
Yeah, and then even Thursday, it's not marquee necessarily, but you got, like, a Nebraska-Cincinnati on Thursday, like, at least something to throw on the TV, you know.
It's cosplay Mahomes getting to play an Arrowhead.
Exactly.
That is still so weird to me.
Yeah, he's kind of taking the emulation to a creepy degree, Dylan Rayola.
It is so weird. Like, how can there not be somebody in the camp being like, hey, man, you can like the guy, but, like, you don't have to, like, literally try to be him.
It's kind of like Baby Gronk, you know, except this guy actually plays college football.
Yeah, but, like, with Baby Gronk, it does feel like his dad's the crazy one. And, like, that's, like, force-feeding it. Or it feels like Rayola, like, that's just him. We got Mullen's debut on... Oh, that's week zero. Okay, week zero, we've got... Wait, we're playing Farmageddon on week zero?
Yeah, Kansas State, Iowa State, in Ireland.
Okay. Okay. That makes more sense. Why is Kansas and Fresno State playing week zero? Does Kansas play Hawaii this year?
No, I'm not sure. That's a great question.
Is Kansas opening the new stadium?
Well, that's a huge part of their year. I think they're in for a big bounce back year. I think it's kind of under discussed how the fact that they didn't have a home stadium last year might have impacted them.
And then they played like what? Didn't they have like 7 1-score losses?
Yeah, they're going to be better so long as Jalen Daniels stays healthy. I mean, you could argue, Jeffrey, if you're looking at Saturday week one, I mean, you could make the case for Syracuse, Tennessee being the fifth best game.
Who did Syracuse get at quarterback? Because McCord was pretty good last year. Like, Syracuse was sneaky, a fun team to watch.
Yeah, they're not going to be as good. Like, they just had an easy schedule last year. Ricky Collins, it's that LSU transfer.
Yeah, okay.
Although Steve Angeli did transfer there, the Notre Dame backup who actually had some flash and sizzle a little bit when he was filling in for Riley Leonard.
All right, so if we're are you saying fifth best in week one or fifth best on Saturday?
On Saturday specifically. Because, I mean, to me it's LSU-Clemson. I mean, I realize you got Ohio State-Texas.
So you're ranking LSU-Clemson over?
Because of the stakes of that game. I still think there's a high likelihood that the loser of Ohio State-Texas figures it out and makes the playoff. Could that happen with LSU-Clemson? Yeah, but I don't think it's as much of a slam dunk because the margin for error is so much lower for a Clemson because of the caliber of opponent they're going to play the rest of the way. If they fumble the bag out of the gate against Clemson, I mean, their back is against the wall every ACC game from there on out. And then with LSU, it's the things I mentioned, the emotional factor of a program that perennially is coming up short under Brian Kelly, dropping another week one game, it puts their back against the wall pretty early and puts the onus on Brian Kelly to motivate that team the rest of the way. I don't have those same concerns about Texas and Ohio State.
Well, there's also, I know this is dumb, but I think y'all would agree with me. The fact that Ohio State, Texas is at 11 a.m. kind of sucks.
Well, you know, it's like college football is all in on this noon time slot, right? And we got to have Dave Portnoy on here spouting off his hot takes now, Fox Big Noon or whatever. I mean,
if they put him next to Urban Meyer, it is going to be must watch.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that move, man. Like, what are we doing? This is a college football show. Why do we need?
If he is next to Urban Meyer on the desk, I'm in. If they Clay Travis it, where like Clay, you know, because Clay used to appear on that show too, but all Clay would do is like, a stand-up interview from somewhere else.
Yeah, but at least, like, Clay is synonymous with college football, at least to me. I mean, I realize he does all these other things now. He doesn't talk exclusively college football by any stretch.
Now that the Patriots suck, he is exclusively college football because he's running the playbook again with Michigan.
But, like, I'll be honest, man. Like, you know better than me. Does Dave Portnoy even, like, does he really know college football?
Yeah, he actually watches more college football than he does NFL.
Okay, all right. I mean, maybe he'll be good. Like, maybe I'm discounting, like, what he could bring to their production.
He definitely watches more college football than he does NFL.
Okay.
Because he used to basically just watch the Patriots.
Yeah, it just feels like there's nowhere to really watch ball anymore. It's all about, like, who's going to rip their shirt off and, like, just be obnoxious. And, like, the headgear thing with Lee Corso, like, that was cool, but that was the last 3 minutes of college game day, right? And now it's like they're trying to make that the whole show on game day with McAfee just yelling the whole time. And then Portnoy is going to get on there and yell the whole time. And it's like, where do we actually go to get good college football coverage?
Portnoy's not going to yell. He's going to needle.
Right.
Like, it's not like McAfee can be the loudest guy in the room. Portnoy doesn't try to be the loudest guy in the room. He's like a troll, kind of.
Yeah, and I get that stuff is attractive probably to a more casual audience, but I want to know about the games, right? Like, I want to see a good breakdown with some highlights and, you know, a little bit of X's and O's.
The Fox show's actually not bad. Like, if you just watched it as a show, and I do think ESPN deserves some credit. They did something that's very difficult in TV, which is they did truly reboot College Game Day, and it worked. Like, it is better now than it was 4 years.
That desk is just awfully crowded, though. They'll fix that problem with, obviously, you know, week one's going to be the retirement.
Yeah, that's the other thing, though. Corso's, like, he would do the picks, but, like,
the last 7 or 8 years, it's been tough.
No, it's been a tough watch, but also, like, he only does, like, one segment. Like, I do think Saban has helped.
Yeah.
I think Saban makes it a better show, but the Fox show's actually pretty good. It's just, I'm not really massive fans of anyone that are on there. And then there's just nothing worse than the Urban Meyer, like, revisionist history. Like, him presenting himself, like, as a man of honor is just so grating.
Well, it's just sort of, I don't know, as an SEC guy, you turn on the Fox show and you got Urban Meyer, who I understand he was at Florida, but, like, I associate him more with Ohio State.
That's what he does. He makes us forget because, you know, that Florida team had, like, murderers.
Yeah, right. And then you got Brady Quinn, who was at Notre Dame, and you've had Reggie Bush on there in the past, who was at USC. And
they put Mark Ingram on there, and then Leinart's on there. I mean, it's actually a pretty good show. It's just that no one's, like, I'm not dying to get anyone's take there, if you will. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we got Jason Smith next, right here on Jeff Wright and Company. 92.9.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Possibility means you have a chance. Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
FM, ESPN. Jason Smith is the co-host of the Jason and John Show, weekdays right here on 92.9 FM ESPN from 11 until 2. Follow him on Twitter on X at JasonSmith929. Jason, is it a little, what does it say that Memphis gets hit with more probation and everyone's reaction is just kind of like a giant shrug? You know what I mean? Like, nobody cares.
Oh, I think even the folks that used to be fine with, you know, sort of pointing at Memphis as the rogue program,
yeah,
the rebel program.
Like, nobody fired their jokes off yesterday.
They don't even care anymore because they realize, too, how much college basketball has changed and how, in the grand scheme of things, when you read the details of this one, how it doesn't seem like the NCAA had any kind of energy for this with anyone else. And yet here they are still sticking Memphis. So I think most, again, even the most Memphis haters of them all, I think a lot of them have moved on and can't believe that this even, you know, that this was even looked into for as long as it was. That said, I mean, I will say initially, you know, when there was the letter that I think ended up on Ed Scott's desk as he's coming in, we saw the letter when there were, you know, there was
Tom had a copy.
Among many others, I don't think I was unique in that way.
there was smoke out there that this involved more than one basketball player. That was the thing. And the question was a very serious question, even probably, you know, probably that might have gotten back to Ed Scott and other candidates for the job as they were looking into this thing is, you know, is this such a mess? Does it run so deep that Penny, who's already on probation, could be facing larger charges, right? A control charge. Something along those lines. Initially, you know, when this first started, you wondered how deep it ran, and then
we were wondering if it, because that was at a time when it wasn't really going great. We were wondering if this would be the grounds of this is how they part ways. Remember,
we said that's how seriously we took it at that time,
yeah,
because of what was out there. Again, that was under the assumption that this involved more than just one player. We said that, you know, Memphis took Malcolm Dandridge off the floor. If it goes deeper than that, that's where Penny could get into trouble. Well, the NCAA had time to look all through this. Clearly, they still had the energy to do so because they had enough info off top to say, well, this is easy. Let's go in here and ask some questions. And they have the energy to do it because it's still Memphis. It's still Penny Hardaway, who, oh, by the way, is on probation. So you do have to look into it. And they still weren't able to tie anything. The payments themselves was the academic counselor was taking care of them. They couldn't even tie that to Penny. I'm just saying I'm surprised we're still here. What the NCAA has shown us is typically they rarely have time. They rarely have time for the enforcement of things like these now in a world where, frankly, they're losing their control over college athletics. And so, yeah, man, I mean, what can you say? Penny's Teflon. You know, you add 2 years to the probation, but I don't care about three vacated wins so long as he can still recruit. Still's got what 15 scholarships now with the house settlement. You're not, you know, I know it's 1% for both softball and basketball. If that's half, whatever it is, that's not something that seems like it's going to hurt him or keep him from doing his job. And so, no, man. I mean, he comes through again. For the most part, he got a slap on the wrist with the IRP thing, and you just wonder. You know, how many more blurbs about any of these college basketball teams are you going to see? It seems like Memphis is the only one, both on The Athletic and ESPN today. You saw the little blurb following Pat Forty, and I guess we still got to look at this stuff as serious, but in a world where, my God, you got the players, are, you know, there's millions running through these rosters, and we're talking about 450, 500. I realize, you know, still, it's sloppy. It's a bad look. We said all that on our show yesterday as it broke. It's like, come on, man. You're on probation. Malco's a guy that, you know, this is – keep in mind how it ended a couple of years ago when he's getting into it with Kendrick Davis in a game against FAU that, oh, by the way, at the end of the game, Kendrick Davis is doing uncharacteristic things, throwing the ball away. It didn't help you that your guy, your East High guy that you go back with, was kind of in the middle of it with your guy who had taken you to that point and probably stood to lead you past, you know, Fairleigh Dickinson if you get past FAU to a Sweet 16. My point is, you know, nobody needed to be messing with Kendrick Davis that year. It ended that way, right, a little bit sour. Both those guys said, hey, that's on me. Point was, Malco was out of here. He was headed to St. Louis. He was in the transfer portal. And, yes, he never ended up going. And, yes, Penny still had a need for him because you still needed a big at that point. So you open. It's not like Malco begged to come back or anything like that. I mean, Penny had a need. It worked for both sides. But the point was, if Malco doesn't come back, you know, you're not back here. This is your old East guy being sloppy after he's already gotten his undergraduate degree. Sure, I know plenty of college players have had their work done for him, but it's sloppy, man. I mean, we're talking about intro to theater for a guy that's, again, already got his undergrad, is just here to play basketball. And so I get all that. But in the end of it, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, Penny can still do his job. He's still the best man for the job, at least for right now. And, yeah, man, I'm surprised we had to stop there for a while. And it was funny how quickly Pat Forty had that. I mean, if the NCAA is going to have something on Memphis, it's going to be Pat Forty that delivers it. And he'll be right on it.
Man, Jason, it's just wild, like, how much it's changed in the last 15 years. You think about, like, Derrick Rose's ACT situation, which was presumably orchestrated by a third party.
Allegedly.
You know, for an exam that didn't even occur within the parameters of the university. We're talking about the ACT. He was not enrolled at the time. Yeah, the penalties for that were so massive and stiff compared to this Malco thing, which is a multi-year player, an in-house academic advisor, softball players involved, involving coursework at the university, and it's a slap on the wrist to me. There is no better...
By the way, while they were on probation!
Right! There is no more glaring or obvious example of just how toothless the NCAA has become over the last 15 years than the differences in punishments for those two cases.
I mean, it's that. It's a toothlessness, but then also, you know... But you're gonna stop us all and say that you're still enforcing these things. Like, we don't know that this thing had to be set in your lap. Like, you know this, Cobb. They don't have the enforcement staff anymore to go digging into something like this. What it likely had was a set of facts that were pretty easily backed up, presented in front of them, that they said, you know what, this one's right there in front of us. He's on probation. Let's take a look here. But the NCAA, in terms of that enforcement, they can't do hard and digging in anymore, and they don't do it with the big schools. And so, it's changed so much, they're toothless, but to still be acting like we're holding these guys to account, you can't do this. And this world, again, we're, you know, that's changed so much. It's just like it was the old days or something, and they're still on patrol and still have some sort of teeth. It's just the hypocrisy of it all. But again, if it's Memphis, yes, we want to show you guys that we're still in control and still enforcing, and we're going to hit them when we can. But no, toothless is the word, Cobb. But again, even as toothless as they are, if Memphis is doing anything, they're going to try to get you. Again, I'm surprised that when you had all this time, and there were thoughts that this thing run deeper, that this is all there was. You know, Penny's either Teflon, and maybe he's not as sloppy as it looks, or when it comes time and it's time to go taking a look, they're real good at cleaning it up. Again, that IRP, nobody was saying anything. So, you know, they I don't know what it is, but Penny seems to come through these things scot-free. A lot of it's the NCAA's lost some teeth, but there ain't much here either. Now, let's be real. The 11-5 that they got Penny on to start with the IRP was an 11-5 that he paid as a high school coach. Now, again, Penny didn't pay that 11-5 trying to steer James Wiseman to Memphis. At that point, Tubby Smith's going
to
be the coach.
He was trying to steer him to East.
You ain't got a chance in hell. He's trying to get him to East. But so that whole thing was true. But it does reek of. And if you read the Athletic, and again, I hate to pick on one or the other, but the Athletic and others, and it is, it's a fact, so you can say it, but it's like Penny Hardaway has repeatedly been in trouble. I mean, these are small things that we used to, I mean, with Kelvin Sampson, we laugh because of the rules changes, the stuff that he got, the texts and stuff. We laugh now because the rules have changed. Some of this stuff for Penny, the getting there for an early visit that he's on the probation for now, this whole thing where, you know, apparently the NCAA couldn't connect him to the payments to the softball players or whatever else. It's just kind of ridiculous because, again, this stuff's – it's happening all – we're so far past this. And yet, again, if it's Memphis, we're going to stop and say, oh, no, something's going on here. We got to look into this. So there's a lot of ways to look at it. But in the end, Penny, come, you know, pretty light slap once again for Memphis basketball.
It does make the – Cobb and I were talking about this a little bit before the show. I don't know if it necessarily puts to bed, but it does make the case of, like, they're just out to get Penny. It makes that case a lot harder to make.
100%.
You know what I mean?
I mean, yeah. I mean, you said it makes it harder to make the case that they're just out to get him?
Yeah. Because, like, they're actually, like, not – they're not – I don't know. In my experience covering NCAA cases, the amount of stuff that they actually had, like, that's what's always striking about when you cover an NCAA case. Like, you're like, when the team gets punished severely, you're like, that's all they had? Like, the Ole Miss refrain was, they got Laramie Tunsil for a loaner car and $700. And it's like, they had enough to, like, actually say, like, this is academic fraud, but, like, I don't think they want to do it.
I mean, the only thing that you're going to get Penny on that's going to hurt them is that lack of the institutional control. I think the person that handed this to the NCAA, and maybe it's the letter writer, maybe it's not. Maybe the letter writer just knows about all this or whatever else. But it sure seemed like there was somebody within that program that's out to sink Penny or to get someone else in it. And again, that's why I would say the NCAA, no, they're not out to get Penny if they have to go do the work. But if you set it up in front of them and you tell them, hey, I got a player right here. He's just, you know, softball players are doing the work and everything else. That's when they're going to take the look. And that's where I'd say they, oh yeah, you make it easy for us. We'll absolutely go get Penny Hardaway. He doesn't care about our rules whatsoever. But again, somebody has to do that for you. So the interesting thing to me here, and what I've always wondered, and he's had time, obviously, is who's the snitch? Who's the person on the inside that thought this was going to be the smoking gun that was going to get Penny a lack of institutional control charge because they laid it right in the lap of the NCAA? That I truly believe that's happened, and that person would have had to been in-house to have everything they did because, again, I think Cobb knows this, having seen now how toothless they are, how really it's just a matter of resources. They don't have it anymore to come ask the questions, send people on the campus the way they used to. Somebody laid this at their lap thinking it was going to kill Penny. It didn't. They couldn't tie it deep enough to him. And, I wonder if that person within that athletic department or probably likely long gone now has been identified, if Penny knows who that is. That's the more interesting story to me at this point is who was that thought they had the smoking gun?
Yeah, I somewhat think when Ed first got here and he kind of took a look under the hood, and by most accounts there was a difficult conversation that probably needed to be had with Penny. I would imagine this was part of it.
These were questions that not just Ed Scott, but I think anybody who was interested in the Memphis job, once they got a whiff of this, they started asking Memphis questions. How far down does this go? How does this go? So Ed Scott knew about this, right? Or at least probably had some questions before he's even in it. So like you said, yes, he had to take a look under the hood. You talk to Penny. How deep does this go? And credit to Penny here. Again, you tell Ed Scott one thing, he's coming in here. And credit to Penny, again, the NCAA's had this for over a year. Most of it, I'm sure, at least started in their laps, hadn't been able to tie it to at least a lack of institutional control charge or anything that's going to hit him. I mean, he was already on probation. So the most you could give him was two more. You didn't even suspend him any games. You couldn't tie this to him in this instance. It was enough to pin it on the counselor. So the counselor thing's weird, too. To say I did it because I felt sorry for him, Malco already had his undergraduate degree. Now, I know a lot of people will say, okay,
oh no,
Penny just took care of that. But I don't know, man. She's not much older than he is. She ran, you know, but John and I were talking about whether there's a relationship there. This, I felt sorry for him. Sure, you've seen a lot of athletes struggling with their classes. Why'd you pay to get this done for Malcolm? An intro to theater class. A lot of folks will look at that and say, yeah, that was an obvious answer. Penny was taking care of it. He's the one that paid it. Dude, if that was the case, I just think the NCAA had enough time on this, right? Unless he's taking care of, oh, that 10-year show cause, oh, forget that. Here's your payoff, lady. You know, and that you're gonna have to run awfully deep to keep that from the NCAA. I don't know. I just think we got the Teflon Don here. They're trying to get Penny, and they can't do it.
All right, my man, be good.
Take care.
That is Jason Smith. When we come back, we tell your story next, right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right,
boys, for today's Don't Tell The Story, tell your story. Let's go to Mark Leishman. Was interviewed after the round today at the Open Championship. Felt like we were on the course for about 12 hours today. Lots of complaints about slow play. Rom was blaming everyone. It's a good time out there.
I would love to be on the course for 12 hours a day, Mark Leishman.
Yeah.
And to be getting paid for it? Man, come on.
He's another, like, live guy that, like, I totally forget.
You know, did you hear Eric say the other day that he and Mark Leishman are buddies?
Yeah. Leish used to rent his house.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, like when he'd come in for the...
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
Like, Eric's, like, friends with his parents, too. Like, the whole clan. All right. Thanks for having you in here, buddy.
Yeah, it was fun.
Good to have you in studio. If you missed anything, be able to the podcast show after the program ends. For George, for Cobb, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kinn Show is coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.